read the verse for the beginning of the sutra.
Yeah, we will start by reading the verse for the beginning of the sutra.
我们先看开经记。
Okay, we will do it in English first.
先讲英文。
Okay, I will read it. The unsurpassed, please read along, the unsurpassed, profound and sublime Dharma is difficult to encounter even in a billion eons. Today we see, hear, receive, and uphold it, vowing to fathom the true meaning of the Tathagata.
现在一听念中文。无上甚深为妙法，百千万劫难遭遇，我今见闻得受持，愿解如来真实义。
Thank you for coming.
谢谢你们来临。
My name is Bill Wright. I'm one of the Dharma lecturers here at the center.
我的名字叫 Bill Wright， 我是禅中心的一个正在训练的老师之一。
And to my left, this is Robert Weick, a tremendous translator. I don't speak any Chinese, so I'm only saying he's tremendous because other people, and a fair number of other people, have told me that he is. So we're lucky to have such a good translator here today.
我不看你那么多。坐在我左边就是 Robert White， 他今天要帮我们做翻译。
Okay, today we're going to talk about the four foundations of mindfulness again. I've been talking about this over the course of two or three lectures already. We'll review quickly the stuff that we covered in that and then push forward from there.
我今天要讲的题目是无妄啊，是这个四念处，我已经两三次之前讲过，今天我们继续之前，我想再温习一下我前两次所讲的。
All right, mindfulness. Now, what is mindfulness? Those of you who have some experience with Buddhist studies know that mindfulness is a very important concept in Buddhism. It is one of the elements of the Noble Eightfold Path, as you know, when the Buddha first had his great enlightenment. The first teaching he gave was the Four Noble Truths, and the last of those four was the path which leads to liberation from suffering. And that path is the Eightfold Path, and one of the elements of that Eightfold Path is right mindfulness, which we're going to be talking about today.
什么叫正念？所有所知道任何佛法的人都知道，这个正念是佛法的一个观念，非常重要的一个观念。它就是这个八正道之一。那我们知道佛给我们讲的那个四圣谛，四圣谛包括这个最后第四个就是那个八正道。这个八正道最后就是第七。八正道之基就是这个正念。
All right, you can see on the board I've written a few of the basic things for us to remember. Now, mindfulness, you should think of it really as having, it has sort of two somewhat different, somewhat related aspects to it. That's what I've put up there. There are two aspects to mindfulness, both of which are important.Now the first one is what we might call present moment practice. Many of you are familiar with this idea. If you've gone to Buddhist retreats and so of any sort, you've experienced the various methods, various techniques that are designed to help us keep our mind on what we're doing at the time.That is, pay attention to what you're doing right now. Don't let your mind wander around all the time the way, for most of us, our minds do wander around if we're not watching and consciously trying to stay mindful.
我在白板上写了几个非常重要的观念，我就是 今天所要解释的观念。我们看第一个 mindfulness 就是正念 无妄念，它可以分成两部分。第一个就是当下修行，这个参加过禅七或禅三或任何这个修行的方法知道，我们要修行的时候，我们不要任何杂念，我们要百分之百的很观察我们的心，不要任何什么其他的这个杂念来进来。这一层不容易的，但是这是我们修行的一个目的。
Robert, if I start running on, just touch me whenever you want me to stop, and so you can remember, you know, so you won't lose the thread before you start.
我的记忆不好，不可以太久。
Okay, well, that's one aspect, present moment practice. I think most people, that's one of the aspects of Buddhism that is attractive to a lot of people, I think, because we do live in a very hectic world these days. I'm sure most of you will agree that most of us have a whole lot of different things on our mind all the time. Lots of people trying to get us to do things, lots of things going on. And our minds tend to get distracted.
这个第一个就是当下的修行，就是对很多人，很多不是佛教徒的人都来看一看佛教徒到底是什么样子，因为他们喜欢这方面的。为什么呢？因为我们都晓得现在的生活上非常非常的忙，我们想着很多很多其他不同的事情，所以我们就是希望有一个方法可以就是安安静静的坐下，可以观察我们自己的思想，让我们平静下来。
All right, now the second aspect of mindfulness is maybe a little bit less familiar to the average person, but it's also very important. This is called bare awareness. It's translated in somewhat different ways in other books, but bare awareness. Now what is that? That's the ability we're trying to develop the ability to see things as they really are.Okay, now what does that mean? That sounds a little odd to people if they don't know what Buddhism's really trying to do when they first hear that. What do you mean, see things as they really are? This is a book, I can tell it's a book, right? Yeah, we know, but we're talking about a very specific function that occurs in the mind, which leads us into a lot of trouble, ultimately.
第二个我们可以大概翻成基本的那个觉悟，那这是什么意思？这个意思就是说，我们所看到的东西，我们应该看到它真正的这个本质，而不是看我们所以为它有什么本质。那你可能就是说，那当然了，我看东西就是看的它原来是什么样子，我就是看什么样子。像这是一本书，我看的是一本书，但是实际上我们的心理有很多很多作用，所以我们不有很多很多东西就让我们不十分看清楚。
What happens when we make this kind of error is that we add things onto what's really there. We project onto what we're looking at.Habitual ideas about such thing that we already have in our minds. For example, we tend to, you know, we might, if we see something that is attractive in some way to us, we don't just note that it's an attractive thing, but we might actually develop a tremendous desire for it. We might develop the idea that if only I can have that thing, I'll be happy for the rest of my life. We exaggerate the importance of the things we're looking at because we attach our own emotions to these things, emotions which don't really have anything to do with the thing itself.
那我们看东西不看它正式的东西，而看我们所以为是的东西，就让我们犯很多错，就很多起很多烦恼。怎么样子？怎么会？比方说，你看一个东西，看了非常，也许看了一个非常好看的东西， 那你就开始你的心就开始说，哎呀，我要这个东西，你就开始起一个很想要的，你很想要，就开始一种让我很烦心的、很烦恼的一个现象。
Alrighty, now, the purpose of mindfulness practice generally is to give the practitioner insight into these things, the three seals of the Dharma, this is one of the oldest teachings, and basically the three seals of the Dharma, if you're not experienced, when they say seals, that's like these things are the official marks of the Dharma. Okay, these teachings. It's the seal, it's like the idea of putting a seal on a legal document. You know, you went to court one day and there was some document there and you needed it. Well, the clerk of the court might put the court seal on it so that later you can use that document and people will believe it's authentic, right? Well, these teachings have the official seal of the Dharma on them. These are the fundamental, some of the most fundamental teachings in Buddhism.
那这个正念的修行要是用于黑板那个白板上所写的那个三法印，这三法印就是佛教最基本的观念之一。那这个印就是盖个章的意思，就好像什么叫真是佛法，就是盖一个章，好像你有什么正式的合法的法律上的文件，你要盖一个章，这就是这个三法印的意思。在佛法上就是说这是真正的佛法。
Okay, well, what are these? These are basically impermanence. Alright, the first seal says all conditioned dharmas are impermanent.
那我们先看这三个是什么意思。第一个就是无常，无常的意思是说所有的现象不是永久的、不变的。
Alright, now what does that mean? Well, the word dharma basically refers to phenomena, any kind of phenomenon. We're going to talk about that more than when we get down to number four of the four foundations. But basically any experience that you have, you know, you're experiencing the world as you go through your day. You're having sensory experiences. You'll hear things, see things, smell things, taste things, touch things. All those tactile, all those physical sensations are occurring. Also, your mind is working. Your mind can sort of think about itself, right? You can be walking down the street, but thinking about a meeting you're going to have next week and planning out what you're going to do in that meeting, or a meeting that you had 2 weeks earlier, planning. Well, all sorts of thoughts go through your mind, appear in your mind. Those are dharmas too. Those are objects of mind.
那这个所有的法都无常，法就是现象，现象都是我们所感受的任何东西，我们所讲的、尝的、摸到的、看到的、听到的，这个都是这个一种法。一样的，我们天天都忙忙的想东西，想这个想那个，我们所想的东西也是现象，也是可以叫法。
Alright, the first seal is saying that all of those things, all those experiences that you have in the ordinary world, they all exist because of causes and conditions. They all exist conditionally. Certain things have occurred prior to the appearance of these things that caused them to appear. If those things had not occurred, they wouldn't appear. And as things change, the conditions change, and those things will eventually disappear.
这所有的法都是无常，它们为什么存在呢？都是因缘的意思。它们存在因为有一个什么因创造它们发生。如果那个因突然就不见了，那个现象也不见了。所以我们看的就是 很快就没有了，就是因缘的创造跟灭。
All right, now no self, the next seal of the Dharma, or of the Dharma, this also refers to phenomena. This teaching is sometimes called the three characteristics of phenomena. Okay, that's a good definition, because it's basically saying any phenomenon you're experiencing, anything, has these characteristics, right? One, it's impermanent, okay?As long as it's conditioned. We'll talk about unconditioned things later, but we very rarely experience those. So the conditioned ones are a little bit more important to talk about at first. Okay, now we're also saying that those things have no self. Now this is a term of art in Buddhism that has to be understood carefully or you can get misled.
So 我们看第二个就是无我。那我们就看这个三法印，也有一个说法叫它三法特点。三法的特点就是说任何现象有这三个特点。那这三个特点，第一个就是我们刚才讲的无常，就是任何东西因缘创造的就是无常，也有不是因缘创造的，但是我现在不提这个，这是另外一个什么一个观念。现在我是讲这个因缘创造的，因缘创造的都是无常。第二个就是无我，这个观念无我非常非常容易搞错误会，所以我们挺小心注意到这个无我到底是什么意思。
Alright, what this is talking about is the fact that these things, every phenomenon we experience, we tend to exaggerate the importance of these experiences in certain ways. We have a tendency to think these experiences are impermanent, are permanent, excuse me, we react as if they are permanent, right? And we also have a tendency to think that they exist separate and distinct.From everything else in the universe. Now, those two characteristics of how we relate to phenomena are the two big mistakes we make. We tend to think phenomena are permanent, and then we also tend to think that phenomena in some way are unconditioned, when in fact they're conditioned. Because think about it, when I say that phenomenaDo not exist separately and distinctly from everything else. What I mean is, they are conditioned by all the changes and so on that are going on in the universe, just like everything else is. So, if you think that, you know, somewhere there's something sitting there that never changes, because no matter what else happens in the universe, it's not affected,Right? You're mistaken. The Buddhist teaching is you're mistaken. There isn't any such thing like that in the ordinary reality that we are living in.
那我们看东西，我们常常把东西看得过分重要。什么叫过分重要？我们看东西都以为是永久不变的，就是这个样子，永远就是这个样子。而且我们不知道所有东西跟所有其他的现象都有关系，我们是把它当作完全分开的，完全独立的。我们以为每个现象有它自己独立的这个情况，而是错的。好像说它是没有这个因缘所造的，但是实际上每一个现象，我们看的每一个现象都是跟所有其他的现象有关。
Okay, now most of us have a tendency to treat things in a manner that doesn't conform with these truths, and in particular when we think about ourselves, we tend to exaggerate the idea of who we are and what we are. this is the Sanskrit for this in itself is an Atman. It's a reference to the idea of an Atman that exists in Hinduism. They talk about the Atman. And the Atman is a permanent thing until it goes back into Brahma. And also it's thought of as being not subject to change from conditions in the same way that everything else is.
那我们看这个 you meant number one impermanent?
No, I'm talking about anatman. No self. No self is anatman.
That's great. 看这个无我有一个梵语的字叫 anatman。那个 anatman 它有两个部分，一个是 a， 一个是 natman。natman 的意思是说不变的，就是永久不变的意思。在印度教里面说有一些现象是都不会变的，都是永久的，就是等到他们变无常的时候才会变。所以这个前面那个部分 A 那个就是无的意思，所以我们可以说无我就是从那个翻译过来的，就是 anatman。
Alright, now it's very important, now everybody listen to this, this is a very important thing I'm about to say. These teachings do not mean that you do not exist, okay? It sort of sounds like I'm sitting up here saying that you don't exist, right? I know that it sort of sounds that way, but that's not the meaning, that's not what we're really trying to say. What we're trying to say is thatThe conception that most people have of what it means for them to exist is a little bit exaggerated. They think that they're permanent when in a way they really aren't. They're sort of changing all the time. And they think that they're separate from everything else. That I'm Bill over here and Bob is over there. And Bill is different from Bob and Bill and Bob will always be totally different from each other. It's sort of, that's how we approach the world.The Buddhist view is that that's a little bit mistaken. It's an exaggeration. But the Buddhist view is not that Bill's not here. Here I am, I'm right here, believe me. And there's Bob, he's right there. You do exist, but you might very well have an exaggerated idea of what that existence means.
现在我要大家好好的听我要讲的这句话。我说无我不是说我不存在，我不是这个意思，不是说你们不存在，意思是说你把这个观念我弄得有一点不对，或者说看的那个有一点不对的，哪里不对呢？我们把我们自己看过一个独立的不变的东西，而这方面是错的。我们存在，但是不是无变的这个一直的存在。像我是 Bill， 这是 Bob， 我会把我跟这个 Bob 完全分开的，我完全独立的，我跟他没有关系，我是我，他是他。我们每次看我们自己都是有这个观念，都是以为自己完全独立，有自己的完全不变的一种生活，一种生命，而不是这个样子，不是这个意思。
Okay, now the third of the three seals is usually just stated as being dukkha, which is the Sanskrit word for suffering. Many of you know that, you know, the four noble truths start out with suffering as the first truth. There is this thing dukkha, it exists in the world.As we go through the world, we experience this thing, which in Sanskrit is called dukkha. In English, it's usually translated as suffering. But that translation is a little misleading because it makes it sound like we're saying there's never any pleasure in life, which for most people, you just look at your own life, you don't think that's true. I mean, most of us do have some...fun sometimes, you know, we do. So it's not as if you're trying to say every moment of every day feels like you're having a root canal without anesthetic, right? It's not saying that, okay? But what it is saying is that the things of the world are ultimately unsatisfactory. Think of it as being a word that refers to ultimate unsatisfactoriness. These things, that we can enjoy them, but they're not permanent. They're going to go away. Are they going to solve, by grasping this thing that's out in the world, am I going to solve my problems forever? No, because the thing I'm grabbing is impermanent. I mean,
第三个法印常常翻成 Dukkha， 这个词也是翻译就是苦的意思。苦我们知道就是四圣地之一，我们生活就是苦。那这个苦这个字实际上翻译的不是完全对，如果我们说生活就苦，它就是让我们想生活都没有任何好玩的，没有任何快乐吗？而且我们知道我们也有快乐的这个情况，所以我们可以说这个第三个法印不要翻成苦，而要翻成不满足，就是我们生活方面不满意。像我们要一个东西得不到就不满意，我们有一个东西以后没有了又是不满意，我们所有的东西还是有缺点都是不满意。所以我们看东西的时候，就是我们过生活都是常常有这个不满足不满意的现象，所以这个就是第三个法印苦的真正的意思。
All right, now you notice over here I put slash nirvana. This is the way Shifu taught this at least once when I was there at one retreat. I was with Shifu. Thich Nhat Hanh teaches it this way too. What we're saying is basically, the way to think about this is, one and two are true of every phenomenon in the world. If you don't understand that, and you try to go through the world as if one and two are not true of all phenomena, you are going to have dukkha. You will end up with dukkha in your life, okay? But, what if you do understand? I mean, what are we doing here today? We're trying to develop our understanding of the Buddha Dharma, right? Understanding these first two seals, you can do it. You can at least get better at it, you know? You can understand it a little bit better, and you can start to live your life in that understanding, you know, without understanding as part of how you approach things. If you can do that, you're going to start moving towards nirvana. Okay, life becomes much, much better. Okay.
你也许注意到我旁边有写一个字，中文叫涅槃。那我们师父，圣严师父教过这个。我之所以有一次我听他这么教这个观念，为什么要在另外一边写这个涅槃？还有一心法师也是这样子解释。如果你第一个无常跟第二个法印无我不了解不知道，那你要过生活就是要过得比较苦，这是第三。但是我看大家在这里要来听佛法，所以我相信我们至少可以勤奋的多了解一下这个第一跟第二。那你了解第一跟第二，那你第三就没有这个苦。
Okay, now the most difficult of these to really get a hold of is the no self, especially when it applies to us as human. You know, we have a natural tendency as human beings to treat ourselves as if we're going to be permanent. And as if we're different from everything else. Okay, just think about how you live your life. It is sort of like that, right? As we go through the world. We have that tendency in us, and it's difficult to put that tendency down for most people. But these practices, the four foundations of mindfulness, are designed to help us understand that we're doing that, so that we can be mindful of what we do and live our lives with an understanding that's closer to the reality.
对我们众生来讲，这三个法印最不容易了解的就是第二，无我。我们每个人都有这个趋向，什么趋向？我们都是喜欢帮我们自己当作一个独立的、永久的，好像我们是特别的，好像我们跟其他的东西都不一样的，我们还可以独立的分开的过生活。那这样这种态度是错的。那如果我们要经由这种现象、这种思想来过生活，那我们的生活就一定会比较苦。
Okay.Now I just want to repeat once more, remember we're not saying that you don't exist, you do exist. Buddhism, you've heard it described as the middle way, right? It's the middle way in several different contexts. One of them is this context. Think of two extreme positions. One is what you might call eternalism. That's the idea that things exist permanently,and that they have some kind of essence that's separate from everything else. That's not conditioned by other things. The other extreme, think of that as nihilism, right? That's the belief that there isn't anything anywhere. It's just complete nothingness, right? Neither of those extremes is the proper Buddhist understanding. Buddhism takes a position down the middle.Between those two things. It's the middle way, so it's saying, sure you exist in a certain way, but you don't exist in the way eternalism would say that you do. But it's not as if you don't exist at all, which is the nihilistic position. So the Buddhist position is somewhere in between those two things.
我要再提醒大家一下我不是说你们不存在，不是这个意思，当然存在。也许你们听过一个观念叫中道，那我们说佛教就是走这个中道中间的那条路，左边跟右边有很激烈的两个观念，一个观念就是永久的观念，永久的观念是说我们永远的存在，永远的不变的存在，好像有一个灵魂就是让我们存在的意思，这是错。还有另外一个观念是说我们死了就灭了，灭亡了，没有了，好像什么都不是真正的存在，根本没有东西，这个也是错的。我们的佛教就是走这两个之间的那条路叫中道，说存在的不是永久的，
All right, now the four foundations are designed to help us by practicing mindfulness of these four categories here, these four things, the body, the sensations or feelings, the mind or consciousness, and the dharmas, which are the objects of mind. Each of these four is designed to help us develop this understanding about, you know, the given aspect of existence.
所以现在今天讲的那个四念处，这四念处就是在白板上写的 Four Foundations， 这四念处我们的修行这个观念，就是这个观身第一个，观受第二，观心第三，观法第四，我们要修行这个观念，就是会让我们了解那个三法印。
Okay, well let's review now quickly what we've already talked about. We did talk about, the body, four foundations of the body and of the sensations, as we talked about. I want to review them quickly before we move on to mind and dharma and dharmas.
上一次已经讲过这个观身跟观受。我想再一次温习一下。温习好了，我要继续讲这个观心跟观法。
All right, well, the first thing we have to remember before we get started with this practice is you need a certain amount of stability of mind before you can really do it. Two good methods for helping you stabilize your mind, calm down your mind, are counting or observing the breath. These are the two methods that are taught in our beginner's meditation class here. They are very well known, very old, and very well respected meditation techniques. In fact, the Buddha himself used these techniques way back when, 2,500 years ago, when he was on the road to enlightenment.
那我们要修行，必须要心里很稳定的。心里稳定的方法，我们怎么样可以把我们的心灵让比较平静下来？也有两个方法，这两个方法也是在我们这里教的，也是佛自己教过的、用过的。第一个就是数气。
Okay, now these methods are talked about in the big sutras on the four foundations of mindfulness, in the section on mindfulness of the body. This is thought of as being a type of mindfulness of the body where you sit and you keep your attention on your breathing, you count your breaths as you exhale if you're doing counting. If you're just doing follow the breath, you would just watch the air, the breath come in and out, in and out, keeping your attention on your nostrils and the sensation of the air coming in and out. All the time trying to maintain mindfulness of what you're doing. So you just are following the breath. You're watching what your breath is like. You don't really try to control it. You just try to be mindful of what it's doing. Keep your attention on the breath.
那这个数息这个修行法，就是在佛经里面将那个四念处的地方说的很多次，说的很清楚。这个数息是什么意思？就是说你呼吸的时候，你呼出去，你就是可以数一个，或是很观察它，看它，不是控制它，而是注意到它，很有心的感觉，知道你在呼吸，呼出去的。
Okay, now another aspect of the section of the sutras on mindfulness of the body, they have several other techniques that they describe, not just breathing. Another thing that you can do, and you can practice this in ordinary life pretty easily, try to always be aware of what your body, your bodily posture is. It's called mindfulness of the postures. And they talk about being, there are basically four things your body can be doing. You can be lying down, you can be sitting up, you can be standing up, and you can be walking, right? That's the idea. But, basically what you want to do is just know where your body is. What's my body doing right now? Ask yourself. Sometimes you'll forget. You won't really be aware of it. You can just bring your mind, your attention back to where your body is. By the way, as a sidelight, Buddhism teaches that attention is always present somewhere in our mind. It's one of the factors of the mind that's said to be universal. It's always there. But a lot of the time, we're not really sure of where our attention is. It's sort of wandered off. That's what we mean when we say our mind has wandered away somewhere. We don't know where our attention is anymore, right? So it's a good practice to just always ask yourself, what am I paying attention to right now? And you can just practice directing your mind back to your method. Just feel that happening. Just go, I'm not watching my breath anymore or whatever. Well, bring my attention. Put that factor, that mental quality, attention, onto my breath again. Boom.
佛经里面也是讲其他的这个修行的方法，数七是一个，但是还有其他的。一个就是说看你的姿态，你的身体在做什么，注意到你的身体在躺或者在坐或者在站或者在走路，这是这四个，对不对？所以我们也可以用这个修行方法来注意到身体的这个样子，身体的到底是做什么。还有在现在想到一个道理，一个意思是说，佛说我们的心一直都有注意力，我们心一直在注意到东西，不是说不存，有时不在，一直在有注意力。问题就是我们所注意到的东西不一定是应该注意到的东西，也许我们在跟人家讲话的时候想其他的事，所以我们的注意力走到另外一边去。所以一个好好的修行法就是随时都停下来想一想，哎，有没有在注意到正在发生的事，正在情况，当下的情况。如果没有的话，你把你的注意力抓回来，把它集中于现在当下的事情。所以这个就是一个非常好的一个修行法。
Alright, now other practices that are in the big section on mindfulness of the body are designed to break down our natural tendency to identify with and cling to our body. Now these are a little shocking to some modern people when they first read them. They seem, some of them, well, just as an example, the one I'll use is, for example, cemetery meditations. You can, and this is a recommended practice if you do it properly, you can just sit and think about what's going to happen to your body after you die. By that I mean imagine that your body is out in the, you know, you're not going to an undertaker, you're out, you know, you die out in the woods or something and you're just lying there on the ground. Well, think about what will happen to your body. Now we all know that what happens to the body is that it decays, right? It will decay. Over time it will slowly decay. And at certain points in the process of decay, for most of us, if we were walking in the woods and we came upon a body that was decaying in that way, the sight of it would be very shocking to us. You know, right? You understand, when you first see it, you go, you know, it's like this feeling of revulsion, you know, that arises. So why is Buddhism recommending that you do this? It's not recommending it because we want you to have a morbid hatred of your body. That's not the idea at all. You should love your body. Love yourself and love your body. But you should know what it is that you're looking at. Right? Because what we're talking about is what actually does happen to the body. That's what happens.
还有另外一个修行法在这个佛经这部里面，这个修行法就是要让我们不执着我们的身体，我们都是喜欢我们的身体，所以身体就是我这个意思。所以这个修行法就是可以取消这个身体的执着。那不少人会觉得这种修行法有一点恐怖可恶，这个我们可以解释说，这个坟墓场的这个禅坐，什么叫坟墓场的禅坐？你就可以，你禅坐的时候，你都想一想，我的身体，我死掉以后，身体会变什么样子？就会腐烂掉，对不对？那就直接想一想，我的这个尸体死了以后什么样子？没有送去殡仪馆。好像我死掉在树林里面，你在树林里面死掉，你的尸体怎么样？就慢慢就会烂掉腐掉。你也许也会想一想，如果你在树林走一走，你碰到一个尸体，看到他那个样子，你会有一种反感，一种非常可恶的一种吃一惊的一个现象。 那为什么要这样子修行？不是说我们不要爱我们身体，不要说我们身体很重要，不是，就是说我们要知道这个身体到底是什么组织的，是什么样子，这样子我们就不可以不执着它。
Okay, most people can, if you practice this, and I want to emphasize, it's not, don't think of it as being morbid, it shouldn't be that, but what it is looking at reality as it really is. You know, you can say I'm being morbid, and I would say, well, but isn't that reality? And, you know, the Buddha, what does the word Buddha mean? It means awake, right? Awake to what? Awake to reality as it really is. Okay, that's why we talk about this guy. He woke up to reality as it really is in a way that most of us don't really experience reality because our minds are clouded with vexation all the time.
那这个修行法，你不要觉得它是爱想死的这种态度，不是说爱想死掉这个过世的这种情况，而是要看实际的情况怎么样。我们这个佛法就是说，我们要看实际的情况。佛这个字，意思是说开悟。那佛是开悟到什么？他是开悟到真正的情况，我们这个宇宙真正的情况。我们自己根本没有这个办法看到我们真正的这个情形，为什么呢？因为我们很多烦恼。
Okay, now what do we mean by number two? Sensations or feelings? Mindfulness as sensation or feelings? Okay, now this is also designed to help the practitioner observe bodily sensations with bare awareness. This is the one where bare awareness really plays a very important role. We talked about this in an earlier lecture a little bit, but the way Buddhism teaches that the mind works, essentially there's a little process that that's described in the teaching of the five skandhas. Now a human being consists of five heaps, the five skandhas they're called. One is form, that's all our experiences of physical reality, but you know, things that are material, that are physical in that sense. But then there are also four things that are mental, that happen mentally. And the first one of those is sensation. Then we've got perception, volition, and consciousness that come after that. But Buddhism basically teaches that all of your experiences fall into one of those categories.
那观受到底是什么意思？实际上观受也是要让我们看我们的身体，看我们的这个生活的情况，看清楚，看得很正式的。那佛教我们说，我们的感受要经过一种手续。他说每个人都是五蕴造的。什么叫五蕴？五蕴可以分身体方面跟心理方面。身体方面第一个蕴就是色，就是我们的身体跟我们所看到的这个东西，就是叫色。另外四个就是心的，另外四个就是受、想、行、识。受就是感受，想就是思想，心就是我们所决定要实行的东西。第一个就是识，是我们所觉悟到的。所以佛说我们要用这个非常基本的这种觉醒来看东西，就是因为我们有这个五蕴。
Alright, now the way this teaching works is that basically it all starts with sensation. Buddhism, when say you hear some music, you hear a tone lands on your, you know, the the sound wave lands on your eardrum, right? That creates a sensation in your mind. That sensation is either positive, negative, or neutral. In the Buddha's teaching, that the initial impact is always one of those two things. You either like it, or you don't like it, or you don't much care one way or the other.
Okay. 那这个五蕴怎么样来讲这个受？受就是我们的觉悟的开始，我们感受到东西。比方说，我们的耳朵听到一个音乐，一个音调。那我们的耳朵听到一个音调，我们的心就马上有一个感想。我们喜欢是正的，不喜欢负的，或者无所谓，喜也不喜欢也是可以说不喜欢，就是这个中的。
All right, now what happens after that is, after that the trouble starts. the trouble is that in response to that sensation, our minds will tend to add things on to the experience itself. That's basically what happens. If it's a pleasant thing, a pleasant sensation, we tend to think, oh wow, pleasant, I want more of that. Suddenly the desire arises within us to get more of that pleasant sensation, right? On the other hand, if it's a negative sensation, we go, ooh, I don't like that. Push it away. Aversion arises in us. The vexations arise in us as a result of this sensation, and then because vexations arise, all of our stored up mental habits can come into play. We can suddenly start to think the thing is much worse than it actually is, we can start to hate it, things like that. Various kinds of mistakes can be made. A dog bit you when you were a little kid, and you know, when you were 3 years old, your neighbor's German Shepherd bit you on the foot, and it hurt you at the time. You were only three. But now you're 53, and every time a German Shepherd goes by, you want to run, right? Now, what's going on there? Well, the memory of having been bitten when you were three is coming in to cloud your appreciation of what's going on in the present, because this other German Shepherd, maybe he's not a biter, you know, it's not the same dog, right? But you understand the idea, I think, and that sort of thing goes on all the time. The way to escape from that, the way to get back to the reality itself, is to try to view things with bare awareness.
那我们耳朵听到一个音乐，那是我们喜欢或不喜欢或无所谓。好了，下一步问题就开始。什么叫问题就开始？我们心就开始加上自己的意思在这个音乐上。我们自己多放自己所想到的、所记忆到的东西在这个音乐上。如果是喜欢这个音乐啊，我们说哦，好好听，我要多听，再听，就是把自己喜欢的这个音乐在影响我所感觉到的这个现象。如果你不喜欢，说哎呀，难听死，不要再放，不要再听，烦恼就开始，我们就开始起烦恼。所以我们以前的记忆就影响我们心里所存的观念跟记忆，就影响我们看到这个现象的观念。好像我们三岁的时候被一个狗咬的，那也是还咬我们的脚。现在53岁，看到一只狗就会反感，哎，它会咬我。因为我们以前的记忆马上就放在这条狗的这个观念上，也许这条狗非常非常和睦很友善的，但是我已经把它当作一个不友善的一个现象。所以我们就是我们所看到的现象，看到的世界就是受我们的记忆的影响。
All right, the other aspect of mindfulness of sensations is to just recognize our feelings, is to recognize the impermanence of the sensations and the feelings. This part I think most of us understand pretty well. You know, say you eat a good meal, you go out to eat with your friends and the food's really good. Well, you have a sort of pleasant sensation, a pleasant taste sensation. And that can make you sort of happy, right? You're happy. You had a good meal. You feel good for a while, right? But we all know that that's a feeling that doesn't last all that long, right? Usually, you know, it won't take too long before the happiness you felt over that meal has been replaced by something else. Some other feeling will intrude and the happiness will be gone. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't have a good meal if you want to. I mean, you know, go right ahead and do so, but don't think that the satisfaction you feel when you've just finished this good meal is going to last forever. Now, with negative feelings, the same sort of thing can happen. Say somebody does something bad to you, you know, you get angry at the person. Somebody does something and it causes this negative feeling in you. They, you know, insult you or something and you go, and it's a bad feeling, you know, negative sensation. Well, what do? Most of us, we get angry. That's one common response, is to get angry. But you see, that's just adding more suffering onto the original suffering, if you get angry. Because, you know, then you're going to get caught up in this cycle of, anger and fighting and recrimination. It's much better, much wiser to just be aware of the fact that a person insulted me. Oh, I'm having a bad reaction to that. There's a sort of anger in me. I can see that. But I'm not going to let that anger take over. I'm going to remain mindful. And I'm going to exert a little self-control here, and I'm going to not get angry back. Okay, if you can do that, when you get to the point when you can do that, your practice is really starting to be useful.
So we know, we 所感受的东西，我们可以认出来，我们所感受的东西是无常。我相信每个人都差不多都会了解这个。比方说你跟朋友去吃饭，你也许吃到这个非常美味可口的东西，就让你很高兴，你都晓得你享受这个食物，但是这个高兴这种感觉不会永久，至少再过一阵子就没有了，也许被别的思想或别的观念来代替的。一样的是负的这种感受，也许有一个人呢骂我们，侮辱我们，那一般人的他的反应就是要生气，要再骂他，那这个反应是错的。如果你又骂他又骂回来，骂来骂去的，就轮流的变成一个很大的事情。所以我们怎么样可以应对这个被侮辱的这个情况呢？我们就可以用我们的那个正面的方法来想。哎，对，他骂我，我不喜欢，但是这是无常的，马上就过。如果就骂他，就开始变成一个更大更不行的一件事情，所以就慢慢就可以把它放掉，就不要再想到他。所以不要让这种负的这种不好的这种感觉控制我的行为，就是会变成更不好的、更不妙的一个情况。
All right, now let's move on to mindfulness of mind, which is sometimes translated mindfulness of consciousness. And if we can get through that, maybe we can get through dharmas or objects of mind too, which would be cool. One thing I want to tell you is that you look at different explanations of the four foundations of mindfulness by different teachers. Sometimes something that one puts in sensation, another will put in mind, and sometimes one that some put in mind, but others will put in dharmas and things. The general idea is the same, but, you know, where they draw the line, you know, as to which goes in which is sometimes different. But Bill, I don't think that should bother you, really, because all we're really trying to do is be mindful of everything, really, that's happening, right? Well, anyway, so mindfulness of the mind, what is that? Okay, this is the purpose of this practice is to contemplate the impermanence of mental states. Primarily, that's the purpose.
现在我们可以开始讲的第三个是观心。那我解释这个观心之前，我还要再提一件事情。很多老师，很多人都解释这些四念处，就解释这个，会把很多观念放在不同的地方，有的是放在观身，或放在观心，或放在观受，同样的感这个观念。就放在不同的一种地方，我觉得不应该要觉得有怎么样不对，我们就是要不要烦恼，对不对？反正就他讲的这样，最后还是一样的，所以我们就可以不放在心里，不要在意这个。好，那我们就看这个观心是什么意思，就是要说观心就是无常。就是所有现象都是没有一个都会变，不是一直不变的一种现象。
Alright, in Shifu's discussion of this in this book, his new book, Things Pertaining to Bodhi, he talks about, he says you can think of the mind as existing on three different levels. But to take a little step back, those of you who know me well know that I have a little...issue with the use of the English word mind in Buddhist studies. That word mind is used to apply to lots of different things, right? So you have to be careful when you see that word in a Buddhist text in English and ask yourself exactly what mind are they referring to? Try to figure out exactly what they're talking about when they start using this word mind.It can mean more than one thing.
那这个观心，师父也就讲过这个观心，在他的新的书刚刚出了这本书里面，他就是讲这个观心。那我解释师父所讲的之前，我还要对这个英文这个词 mind， 就是我们说心 mind， 有一点。不满意的，为什么呢？因为英文的 mind 这个字很多意思，有不同的意思，所以在我们讲佛法的时候，我们要提到这个 mind。我想弄清楚到底是你在说哪一个 mind。
All right, well, Shifu says you can think of the mind as existing on three different levels. This is good. The level of physical sensations is the first level. In Buddhism, they talk about levels of consciousness, right? Types of consciousness. And the first five that are usually referred to all involve the five sense organs, eye, ear, nose, tongue, and body. While each one of those five sense organs, when it comes into contact with a sense object, right, the appropriate sense object,will cause a sense consciousness to arise in the mind. That's the basic idea. And unless all three of those things come together, you won't have the sensory experience that can be produced by these senses.
所以师父就是把这个观心分成三层。第一层就是身体的觉醒，身体的观察，身体的所感到的、感觉到的东西，就是说我们的觉悟。这个觉悟也有很多好几层，头五层就是我们五根所创造的，所以看的、听的、闻的、尝的、摸的这五个。那我们有这个五根。用五根，我们有这个五识，我们就是说，我们看用这个看的力量看东西，眼睛是一个根，看的那个动作也是一方面， 所看到的东西是第三个，那需要这三个存在才可以真正的看到东西，少一个就是不能看到的，少一个就不会感觉到的。
Okay, now the next level is the level of mental reflection. In Buddhism, as many of you know, I'm sure, they talk about the mind itself as being like a sense organ. You know, your eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. And then usually when that list is being gone through, they'll say mind at the end, right? Which I know for me as a Westerner when I was first studying Buddhism a long time ago, when I realized they're talking about the mind as if it's the same as a sense organ. Right? That was a very odd thing to me, because I'm raised in the West with Western ideas about psychology. You don't hear that, right? You don't see that. So it's interesting that that happens. It tells you something about what Buddhism is doing. Now, the thing that makes the mind different from the regular sense organs is that the mind can contemplate itself in a certain way. We all know that this is possible. You can sit there with your eyes closed thinking about something that happened. And those memories that are brought up are like mental objects, right? And they're like, and your mind will react to them. You can, you know, if you have a memory of a pleasant thing that happened, you can, a pleasant sensation can be generated again, and you can make yourself happy by remembering things like that. Same thing can happen when you remember negative things, you know, and you notice nothing, you're not going outside of your own body at all to do this. It's the mind sort of contemplating itself. But it still produces these sensations and so on that the five physical senses create.
第二层就是心里的感想、心里的回想、心里的深思。那这佛教也许是东方思想的意思跟我们这个西方的不太一样。我们说有五根，就是刚才讲那个五根，但是佛法说有六根，第六根就是你的心。他们把心当作好像另外五个一样的，那就是在西方不是这样子想的。所以我们可以看到佛法介绍一个什么新的观念给我们，所以我们这个六根，第六根就是那个回想或深思，它又跟另外五根有什么不一样的吗？它，我们的心，它会观察它自己，它会看它自己所想过的、所要想的、所发生过的，它会好好的了解，不是说在身体外面看，而他自己心里就会看，他就会看到他自己想深思他自己，所以这是跟那个其他的五根都不一样的一个观念。
All right, now, just talking about these two levels, remember the reason we're doing this is we're trying to reinforce for ourselves these truths. We're trying to look at the way we experience the world to reinforce these ideas. And the idea that's the hardest to get is this idea that we call no-self, the idea that, you know, our sense of our own selves is actually a little bit exaggerated. Now, with respect to the physical things, you know, the actual sight, sound, smells, taste, and touch, it's fairly easy for most people to recognize that those things are impermanent. And, you know, and people, the tendency to identify with those things as part of yourself, to think, oh, I'm the person who has this visual experience, that tendency is not really very strong in very many people. But when you deal with the level of mental reflection, it gets a lot trickier. People very definitely do have a tendency to identify with their own thought processes. You know, you can start to think of yourself as, I am a Democrat. I've gone through a certain thought process and come to this conclusion about politics, and that conclusion has led me to decide that I want to be a member of the Democratic Party rather than the Republican. Doesn't, you know, it could be either way, right? But you've gone through this thought process that has led you to make a conclusion, and you are identifying yourself in a certain way with this decision, you know, this thought process that you went through. That self-identification is a little tricky. That's where it's that kind of thinking that leads us to get the idea that we are more permanent than we really are and things like that.
那我们再看这个第二个，我问人家在记得为什么我们在讲这个，为什么在研究这个，因为我们要加强我们对这个三法印的了解，而这三法印最不容易了解的就是第二，这个无我。多数人可以看那个物质方面的东西，可以想到，对对对，这些无常的，这个都会烂掉，早晚就会没有了。就是对于我们自己的心，我们自己所想的东西，就开始有一点感觉，我这个心就是永久的，我就是存在的。我们所想的东西，开始用这个字我，我想这个，我是这个。比方说，也许我是一个民主党的人，我为什么要做一个民主党的人？因为我想过他民主党的道理，而且我支持他。你是共和党也一样的，你可以说，因为共和党的道理我都相信。所以你是把你自己放进去，开始把这些观念当作你自己，就变成一个永久分开独立的一个我。
Alright, now the third level of the mind that Shifu talks about is a deeper substratum of consciousness that continues from one lifetime to the next, linking the past life to this one and continuing into the future life. Now this is, you know, in Buddhism, the traditional Buddhist belief is that there is karma and rebirth, and that, you know, we have more than one life. And traditionally, although depending on the school of Buddhism you're looking at, they have different ways of explaining exactly how that process works. But the idea definitely is that there's some kind of flow that goes from one life to the next, to the next, to the next. Something is happening there. Now, high-level meditators, people who are very, you know, good, much better than I am, can actually experience their past lives. I don't know if experience is the right word, but you can gain knowledge of your past lives if you're a very advanced meditator and you're so and you desire to do so, I guess. I mean, the Buddha, one thing that happened when the Buddha had his full enlightenment, his, you know, great enlightenment, was that he could see all the past karma of all of his lives.
Okay. 第三层算是比较深低的就是一层，这个就是我们的这个觉悟不公开的地方。这个就是讲这个业力跟轮回，业力跟轮回我们知道就是我们一命轮到另外一命轮到另外一命的。那修行很高的人，就是修行特别高的，他们能够看到他们以前的命，他们以前的生活，他们可以看得清楚。我自己并根本不会那么高，根本没有这个办法，但是我听说有人他们那个修行法很高，还可以看到以前的一些以前的命。佛他的那个开悟的时候，他就看到所有他以前的命。所以我们就讲这个第三层就是讲这方面的。
OK. I don't know how many of you are going to actually experience that. I don't know if I ever will. But in any event, why is this useful? Why are we looking at our mind this way? Well, once again, it all goes back to the natural tendency we have to identify the thought processes that occur in our minds with a permanent independent self. We have the feeling that there is an independent observer sitting somewhere behind our stream of consciousness. Please examine yourselves and see whether or not you do this. I bet you do. I think there's something about what our consciousness is, the way our central nervous system works, that gives us the impression that there's something back there, some observer back here that's watching all this. And there's a little bit of a tendency to think, oh, that observer is permanent and independent of everything else. Now, the Buddhist view is that that's an illusion. The permanence and independence of this observer that we think we see is actually erroneous. There's not really some permanent, independent thing back there watching.
Now, what's my take on the Zhong Yao? Woman do you see the Xian Xiang, so woman the Zhu Xiang, woman the Xiang Fa. 都是独立的，都是把这个思想跟一个独立的我有关系。那我觉得，我想每个人都以为有一个独立的观察人，就是在看我们的思想，看我们的心理的动作。你可以自己想一想你自己，你不会觉得好像我想的、你想的、你做的。就是很独立的，就是有一个特别的现象，你自己有的，其他的没有的一种现象，就是在观察你。那佛说就是虚伪的，就是不没有的，根本不存在的一个现象。
Okay, the mind is really a sequence of momentary mental events.Each discrete and distinct. Their connections with one another are causal rather than substantial. Okay, I apologize for the sentence, but I think it's correct. I got it out of this book by Bhikkhu Bodhi, a very good book on the Theravadan system. This is important for the no-self idea.When somebody says that you don't exist, ask yourself, well, wait a minute. If you're saying I don't exist at all, how could there be karma? How could karma express itself over lifetimes, right? It couldn't if there's really no self at all, nothing, just nothing, right? But so what connects these moments, you know, well, our mind stream, you know, Buddhism talks about a mind stream. What you are, you could think of yourself as a mind stream. There's this flowing going on, event, 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 event. That's me. But that's not a substantial thing. It's not something like a physical object, right? What is it? It's a sequence of events that are connected to each other, that are unified by the karma,that is producing them, right? They're connected, they're unified causally, because karma is cause and effect, right? It's like, you know, why am I sitting here talking to you today? Right now, well, I don't know exactly why, but it has something to do with this karma that, you know, and that's why you are here listening to me, right? Okay, but that's something that does exist, that's you, in a way.You could think of that as you. Now, it's not substantial. It's not something that has physical reality or anything like that. It's just this sequence. But it's more than nothing. That is more than nothing.
有一句话要跟你们分享。那我就是我翻译这个并不一定是很好，所以对不起，我就是不太清楚。我们的心实际上就是。一秒钟一秒钟的思想的连续性，每一个思想每一秒钟的思想都是完全分开的而清楚的，他们把它连在一起，这每一秒钟每一个思想 把它连起来，都是就是这个因缘性的，而不是物质性的。所以有人说，好，如果我不存在，那谁在想？我们知道我们的思想实际上是一个流，在流的，像一个河流水的那个流，所以我们就是思想一直轮到另外一个思想，一直流到另外一个思想，把这些思想都连在一起，这个就是我。那这些思想不是有物质性的，不是我可以摸到的，像这本书或这个桌子，这个完全都是思想而已。这个就是我们所讲的，可以说是这个我，不是任何物质的永久的一个东西。
All right, now let's move on to mindfulness of dharmas. I know this is heavy stuff, but it's useful. All right, mindfulness of dharmas, or mental phenomena, mental objects as they're called. For purposes of this practice, the word dharma refers to phenomena of mind. Okay, anything that arises in your mind, any kind of mental event, a mental process, or a thought object,any of those things are dharmas in this sense. Now the practice of mindfulness of these basically involves remaining mindful at all times of what objects of mind you are experiencing. Be mindful not only of the dharmas, but also of the afflictions that they cause. Note how these dharmas and their afflictions are constituents of a sense of self.So, for example, my old example, somebody insults you on the street, anger arises in your mind. If you are mindful and really say, oh look, anger is arising in my mind, that anger is very much less likely to take over and cause you to respond with violence or something to the person who insulted you, right? We all know this, really. Anybody, you know, we've all had to...Growing up, everybody has had to learn that you have to learn to control your responses to your emotions to a certain extent. Every time you get a little angry, you can't just start hitting people. You won't survive in society, right? But this is a practice that's designed to help make it easier for you to do this.
第四个就是观法。法，佛法，这个法，现在就是说我们的思想。我们的思想所有的现象，我们所想到的每一个现象，这是这个法。所以我们要很注意到，很正念到我们的思想。我们在我们所想的东西，就是说我们在想的时候，不要只有注意到这个。这个跟我提的那个例子。有人侮辱我，骂我，我当然会起一个很不高兴、非常生气的一种思想。那我要注意到这个思想，我要注意到这个观念，我不要让这个观念控制我的反应。这样子，我会用暴力的方法来反应这个人，或者对待所骂我的这个人，就是这个意思。要观法。你就是要看你自己的思想，你要开悟到、觉悟到你真正在想什么，而控制这个思想，不要让它控制你自己。
Okay. Dharmas, you know, when dharmas that are with outflows, as they call it, Shifu makes this distinction. Most dharmas are subject to conditions. Okay? Anything that arises in your mind, the great majority of them, they're going to be impermanent, they're going to be decaying, they're going to be dukkha. They're not going to be ultimately satisfactory, and you're going to see that. Right? You want to be aware of that at all times. There are some dharmas that are said to be without outflows. That would be like nirvana.In the Theravadan system, they say, all conditioned dharmas are impermanent. Well, you might ask, well, are there any unconditioned dharmas? And they say, yeah, nirvana. Once you're in nirvana, in the Theravadan system, things never change anymore, right? You know, so, but that's the only one, you know, it's only one, right? Okay. Now, you know, in the Mahayana, we have the same sort of idea. Any kind of dharma that's actually an expression of liberation, well, that could be said to be without outflux, right? You know, when you achieve some kind of liberation. Now those dharmas, they don't decay, and so on. So they're different. But most of the dharmas we're dealing with as we go through our practice are with outflows. They are impermanent. None of them has a separate and distinct self. So if you try to find ultimate satisfaction from those dharmas, you will be disappointed. You will experience dukkha.
我们看这个法，我们要注意到每一个法，我知道这个是无常的法，马上就没有了，来了就走了。这个南方那个南传佛教，他们说就两种法，一个就是这个，就是会变的，一直不是永久的存在的，另外一个是永久存在的。 那就是说哪一种是永久存在的法，这个就是涅槃。你如果你可以感觉到涅槃，你可以开悟到涅槃，你就是知道这个这些就是永久的那些法。但是我们自己并没有到这那么高的一个地步，我们就是要看我们自己天天所想的东西。我们看着这个法，我们观法，就知道。 这些法就是无常，所以你不要抓住它，你不要执着它，你不要找出任何什么可以让你满足的这种现象，因为到最后你会失望，你就会感觉到苦。Okay,
now in the Mahayana, I'm sure you know, we talk a lot about emptiness. I didn't write that on the board. You know the term emptiness. In Sanskrit, that's shunyata. Okay, emptiness is another one of the English translations that I don't like a whole lot because I think it's a little bit misleading because it tends to make people think it's talking about nothingness, which it isn't, right? Shunyata is just a really, shunyata, in the Heart Sutra, okay, we all know this, very famous Mahayana Sutra, one of the fundamental ones. When the Bodhisattva of Avalokiteshvara was coursing in the deep Prajnaparamita, what did he do? He perceived that all five skandhas are shunyata. And what did that perception produce in him? He transcended all suffering. Okay? That's what the four foundations of mindfulness are about. The shunyata nature of the five skandhas, shunyata is, in that context, really just means impermanence and no self. Taken together. The word emptiness is used for lots of different things, but when you say these things are shunyata, every phenomenon that we meet, which means all five skandhas are shunyata, remember, what's all five skandhas? That's the human being. That's your experience of the world. All the dharmas that you experience, all of them are shunyata. What does that mean? They aren't permanent, and they don't have any essence that exists independently from everything else. If you can live in that reality, you will transcend dukkha. That's what the Heart Sutra says. Now, and that's what we're trying to do really here. We're trying to get to the point where we can do that.
Now, 我们看这个大乘佛法, 看到这个观念就是 无常，用另外一个字叫空。那我对这个英文字"空"就是 empty，这个字也是觉得不满意。原来的那个翻译字就是 sunyata。那他把它翻成空，把它翻成 empty 英文，好像是根本没有东西在里面。那并不是这个意思。 这个空实际上就是把这个无常跟无我都放在一起，说任何现象无常又无我。我们看那个《心经》， 心经有那个就是讲空的，这个非常重要的一个佛经。记得他说，这个观自在菩萨心生般若波罗蜜多时，照见五蕴皆空，度一切苦厄。所以我们如果可以真正的了解、真正的看、真正的经验到这个观念现象，实际上无常无我就是空，那我们也可以解放。
Okay, and so the last thing, how do we do it? Well, we remain mindful all the time, 24/7 mindful. If you can do that, you're not going to be suffering. Now it's hard, 24/7, that's the hard part, right? You bet it is. but that's the idea, okay? And you know, if you can only do it for 10 minutes a week right now, then wake it up to 20. You'll be better off, okay? So that's what our practice is. Now, it's the next big section in the 37 steps that Shifu talks about here is called the Four Proper Exertions. This talks about the active steps you can take to try to make sure that you're staying in a mindful state. You know, when you notice that you're getting into something that's not, you know, that's not what you want to be in, push yourself back. You know, bring the wholesome back. Don't let the unwholesome take over. Don't let the unwholesome exist if you can get rid of it. And you can with practice.
最后，我们怎么样可以实行这个四念处？答案就是每个星期、每天、每天、每个小时。那当然是谁会做到这个？当然我也不能。但是如果你可以有20分钟的时间，真正的可以观察到这四个，那这是已经很进步。所以我要很勤奋的要实行这个。而怎么样实行？就是用这个正念，这个方法，就是以好好的用心来注意。那我那本书所看的那个师父的31道品，下一步就是叫四正勤，就是说我们怎么样可以很勤奋的实行这个，而可以继续往前而不退后。
Thank you very much for coming. Thank you, Robert, there you go.
谢谢各位来宾。
Okay, we want to do the first on merit transfer.
现在我们看回向记。
So, here we go. What we will do it now. Merit, the virtuous merits adorn and glorify the pure land of the Buddhas. Upwardly, we repay the 4 layers of gratitude. Downwardly, we alleviate the sufferings of the 3 destinies.May those who see and hear the Dharma generate Bodhi mind. Exhausting this body of retribution, may we be born in the land of supreme bliss.
愿以此功德庄严佛净土，上报四重恩，下济三途苦。若有见闻者，悉发菩提心，今此已报身，同生极乐国。
各位请起立， please rise.